It's podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to podcast 68 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. 68, Matt.
Who'd have thought we'd get to 68?
What was your highlight from show one?
It would have been like the facts.
What was your highlight from show two?
the bit that we did with the thing.
That was a good bit. From three to five.
Yeah, the other thing,
and then upwards.
Yeah, I could go on. I mean, I could stay here all day.
What's your favourite moment from the podcast we're about to hear?
What's on it again?
Ben Affleck, James Corden, Kelly Jones, Felix Baumgartner, and the might of Quizface.
There must be something else.
Here it is.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
I hope you had a nice, nice day or two. There was a couple sitting outside Leicester Square, right opposite our window, just kissing. Kissing for about 10 minutes.
Oh.
And it's one of those things, this place is surrounded by places to go. It's one of the only times you could literally say to someone, get a room. Because it's freezing. It's like a middle-aged thing to say. I wanted to go, get a room, because you're going to catch your death. You know, I was thinking more of their welfare than anything else. Yeah. I think that speaks highly of me.
Yeah, it does. Did you say this to them?
No, because I would have looked odd. Just like one of those people. Had a nice sort of Halloween time. A slightly humiliating moment. I went to a party, Matt. I went to a party.
Mm.
And it was a party that lots and lots of people went to. Holly Willoughby went to it, for example.
Wow, what was she dressed as?
Well, it was absolutely terrifying. She'd made her own costume, and it was like a zip halfway up her face, as if she was going to take her face off. And it was the first time I ever met Holly Willoughby. And she went, hey, it's lovely to meet you. And she went in for, like, the air kiss. And I was revolted. I physically moved away from Holly Willoughby. And that's not something that many men
no.
in that situation can say. Now, what do you think I went to this party dressed as?
Some kind of monster.
Yes.
Yes. The monster from the Automatic song. What's that coming over the hill? It's
obscure,
a monster.
It would be an obscure reference. I'd have spent quite a long time explaining that to everybody, wouldn't I? No, I went as the Honey Monster. Because it's quite easy. And I got out of a cab, and it was very nice because a young lady looked very, very excited to see me. Very excited. She was like pointing at friends, and she went, excuse me, can I have a picture? Right? It looked pretty good in that kind of, oh, yes, of course, you can have a, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking, well, maybe she listens to the show, or maybe, who knows? And so I stood next to her, and I sort of put my arm around her, and her friend got the camera ready, and the girl just looked at me and just went, no, with the Honey Monster head on.
No. Oh.
She's just a Honey Monster fan.
She just wanted a picture of the Honey Monster.
She just loves the Honey Monster.
Whoa.
Big fan of the Honey Monster.
Yeah.
So it really, it gave me a lovely peek and then a massive trough straight after. But it was a wonderful kind of event. But it was a strange event as well, because you spend the whole year telling your infant son that monsters don't exist. And then essentially you and your wife get dressed up as monsters. And all night you're dealing with monsters appearing at the door.
Right,
so you have to go, well, monsters, they exist once a year, but they're all quite friendly. They all look like your mum and dad are a big Honey Monster.
What did
you do for Halloween, Matt? Anything nice?
Absolutely nothing. I don't mark the occasion.
I don't recognise Halloween.
I don't even have any trick-or-treaters come round.
Really? You must have a reputation as the local Scrooge. You know what I mean? You're the Bob Cratchit, whatever it's called,
exactly.
In the local area.
Don't go near his house. You're not getting anything.
Don't go near the weird man. The weird bearded man. He'll end up charging you somehow. Why do the local children hate you so much?
I don't know.
I don't know why that is. You're such a meanie.
We are...
Now we present to you, well, a little look behind the scenes. Now, if you heard the last important documentary we did, it very much covered what happens before the show. You know, we get here about 1 a.m, run through the scripts, get into wardrobe, makeup, last minute refinements, just adding the odd and to make everything sound ad-libbed. There's one now, in fact, that I've just seen. I've just added that to that was an ad-lib. But also people often say to us, and I think say to other breakfast radio people, what do you do the rest of the day? It must be great, the whole rest of the the day is yours. Well, no, it's a packed day. All of it very much in the spirit of, I suppose, preparing again for the next day's important broadcast. So here's what happens when we finish work for the day.
It's 1 minute past 10 a.m. at Studio XFM. And another edition of the important broadcast is assigned to the annals of history.
Amazing work, guys. Good. Strong.
Work experience Steve immediately runs the audio down to the British Library. And with the press so often waiting outside for Toby Anstis, Danny, Dave and Matt leave by a side entrance to return to their normal civilian lives.
Another show down. What's happening today?
Producer Dave Masterman.
You might think my day would be ending, but really, it's just beginning, because XFM's umbrella company, Global Radio, rightly encourages us to continue producing our key talent right through the rest of the day. And contractually, that even applies to Danny. Danny, I'll take you through your schedule momentarily.
Okay. Matt, what are you up to?
Just the usual, really.
Newshound Matt Dyson knows now is the key time to pound the streets in search for stories.
My key contact is probably Uncle Brian at Top Cuts, so I head there first.
All right, Uncle Brian, so what's happening out there?
You've heard about the upcoming debate on US foreign policy?
Do tell.
It's now lunchtime, and producer Dave is guiding Danny through another tricky moment.
So, what's happening here?
So, Danny, your lasagna will be ready in 15 seconds. Okay. This is a Findus beef lasagna. Mm. 3 layers of pasta.
Check.
I've got the press release right here.
Thank you. And this lasagna is microwavable?
Yep, it's a microwave lasagna. Okay. Do take care if you're allergic to gluten, egg, milk or wheat. Mm. Coming up in 3, 2, 1...
to my lasagna with 3 layers of fresh pasta not suitable for vegans. Released by Findus in 2012, this one's microwavable. Coming up, dessert plus later on.
Later, after Dave has bathed Danny, he'll phone Matt Dyson, now usually in a cab across town, aware it is imperative he secure the next morning's exclusives.
Driver, what do you know about the Maastricht Treaty?
Not much.
Maybe this will refresh your memory.
That's just a leaflet for ham.
No. Right, Dave. Yeah, just try and get some information from the
camera. So once Danny's settled and I've talked to Matt, that's when I know everything is in place for the next day's important broadcast.
What did he have? Lasagna. Oh, is he asleep now?
And the next day, it all begins again.
Well, I hope you found that useful.
We are XFM.
It's cold outside. Very cold. Exciting day, though. Exciting day. Last 10 minutes or so.
Wow, yeah.
Romney conceding. Mm. Looked like he wouldn't for a while, didn't it?
Yeah.
Going through the numbers, trying to work out how he can get away with this one.
Yeah.
He did it. So Obama's back in. And the big news where we are is that, Dave's just said that he's going to have to pay a £5 fine. And it's not one of our £5 flat fee fines either. It was actually our system of £5 flat fee fines here on the XFM Breakfast Show, where we fine people £5 for minor misdemeanours, was stolen by the suits at Global Radio. A while ago, you may remember, if you check listener pads, that if you spill some coffee anywhere in the building, you have to own up or dob someone in, as they would have said in Neighbours in the late 1980s. and then they have to pay £5. And Dave, you're an exceptionally honest, professional man who, you know, straight down the line, you know what you're getting with Dave Masterman. If there's a directive that comes out, you're all over this.
Yeah.
Then you encourage us to be all over it.
Yeah.
You're a fine leader.
I think it's the right way to live your life.
Absolutely is, yeah. Just going by random emails sent around by people who work here. And you decided to do this, didn't you? And own up to a coffee spill.
It was a big spill, Danny. I'm not going to lie.
How big was it?
It was a full...
In terms of cats, how many cats would cover that area?
Full-size cats, grown-up cats.
Yeah, full-size cats.
Three.
A three-cat spill.
Yeah.
God, it's a three-cat spill.
Yeah.
Well, how big was the mug?
It was a four-cat mug.
It's a four cat mug.
You could have got four cats.
So 75% of the coffee.
Yeah.
That's quite a trip, isn't it? Did you trip?
No, it was on the table, and I went to pick up the important paperwork for the breakfast show in a rush to get here to the studio yesterday morning, just before six.
So 3 out of 4 cats worth of coffee.
Yeah.
Over the floor.
Yeah.
And it spread, didn't it? It really spread.
Yeah.
And what would the stain have looked like if it were, say, a map, if it was a country?
I think maybe a bit like Italy,
Italian, so boot-like.
Yeah, very Italian. So it started quite thick, quite dense, and then it did just start to thin out and go in a couple of directions towards the end of the three cat spillage.
So a three cat Italian spill.
Yeah, with a few islands just where the sprays had hit the printer.
Oh, very, very nice. Maybe the Balearics or something. So you went and you admitted to the gentleman here whose idea it was to take the £5 flat fee fine, and obviously you were thinking he's going to just say, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I still believe that I'm probably one of the few people who have maybe owned up to one of these spillages, because there's a fair few knocking about the building.
There's a fair few knocking about, but Global Radio, of course, is the only sort of company in the world. Is that right? I read this somewhere. Without any contents insurance or cleaners. So it has to rely on staff providing £5 for minor spillages.
Yeah.
And so you said this to him, expecting him to say no, and he instead said...
Yeah, 100% honesty, I went in with, I said, I'm going to hold my hands up here, guys, I'm really sorry, just outside printer 72, there's a three-cat spillage. Yeah.
Looks a bit like Italy.
Looks a bit like
a couple of islands dotted around.
Yeah, and there was no reply on the email.
Oh.
But then...
They're trying to keep it off the books.
Yeah, but as they strolled past me, they did confirm that I would still have to be paying the £5.
And they weren't joking either.
I don't think so.
So you're going to have to pay this £5 fine.
Could get the listeners to chip in or something.
No, absolutely not. This is your responsibility. That should go to... You should start a contents insurance claim or something for Global Radio, what is my opinion, Dave. Well, I'm glad you're so honest. Matt, would you have done that?
I probably wouldn't have owned up to it and got away with it, I think.
You'd have just spread it in. You'd have just tried to spread it in with your foot.
Just try and rub it in.
To make it look old or something, like it wasn't you blamed it on someone else.
We are XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and you join me not in the confines of our little studio, but in a very swanky hotel somewhere in London, sitting next to a very exciting gentleman, indeed, he's an Academy Award-winning writer, director, actor. It's the brilliant Ben Affleck.
Ah, thank you very much.
That's
all
right.
Thank you for having me on the show.
That's okay, no, don't.
Is that free? That cost me nothing?
Yeah, it's all complimentary.
Oh,
and it will be complimentary. I did warn you as I sat down that you should prepare for some fawning this morning.
I was shocked to hear that, but pleasantly shocked.
Yeah, and I'm not ordinarily a fauna per se, but I went to see your film Argo yesterday. I don't know where to begin. I could begin with, I've made notes, you can maybe decide. Best young director of his generation, I've got maybe that could go with that. Clearly going to be nominated for many Oscars, including screenplay, film and director. I could start with that.
Goodness.
Best film I've seen in 5 years, I could do that.
That'll go right on the poster.
Good, exactly. What a film Argo is. It's tense, it's exciting, it's unexpectedly funny. And it's in its simplest form, I suppose you could say, it's the tale of a plan so crazy, it might just work.
Just might work, exactly. Yeah. It does fall into that horribly cliched description, which is kind of fitting, given that part of the story is that they make a horribly cliched movie, or at least they pretend to be making one as a cover so that they can go to rescue some Americans who are being held hostage in Tehran, which sounds like the plot of the worst movie ever made also, except that it happens to be true, which is the redeeming aspect of the movie.
Absolutely, all based around the Iran hostage crisis.
Indeed.
And this was a story that didn't really come out until 97.
That's right, it was classified because the U.S. government thought that if they talked about the CIA's role in freeing these Americans, that the Iranians would make reprisals against the American hostages still in the country. And then it was just like the CIA tends to keep things classified once they're classified, so it took a while. The CIA had a sort of 50th anniversary kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, jubilee celebration.
They those guys can party.
Yeah, they can get down. And they declassified a whole bunch of stuff at that point. And Argo, this story was a part of that. And then Clooney's company bought it, and then they wrote a screenplay, and way down the line it ended up with me.
Absolutely right. When it did end up with you, I mean, how did you feel when you first read that story?
I was kind of shocked, particularly knowing that it was from George's company. I thought, I'm going to have to talk him into letting me do this, you know. Fortunately, he was doing Ides of March and this movie Gravity, which has yet to come out. And I said, listen, I'm dying to do it. Here's what I would do. And I gave him a long 2-hour spiel. And I think he said yes just to get me off the phone.
Is that right? But you and Clooney and there's a kind of a bunch of you. I suppose in the past we've had kind of like, you know, the Rat Pack and the Brat Pack. I think there was a Brit Pack at some point. I'm not really sure who they were. But I don't know what you guys are, because I sort of group you together in my head, the likes of you and Clooney and Matt Damon and maybe Leonardo DiCaprio, of young filmmakers, intelligent and also politically aware of the world kind of around them.
Yeah, one hopes to... I'm hoping to avoid being part of a pack.
I'm glad you changed from one hopes there. You started off saying one hopes and then you went to I hope.
You know, yeah, there you go. See, as opposed... I thought in Britain, you know, you have to say one... no, I hope. Me hopes.
Yeah, that's right. We say me thinks nowadays.
No, well, now and in the past. It's, yeah. What's old is new.
Yeah, exactly. It all comes back.
It's a sort of irony talk. Yeah. You know, I thought, you know, it would be... I definitely think the there is a group of folks who are like a little bit more politically active and maybe more active philanthropically, and probably more than you think, but definitely George is a big one of them, and he's obviously quite active, particularly these days.
Mm. Who's the least philanthropic actor in Hollywood?
I'm close.
Yeah?
But,
not Glenn Close.
One would think that it would be... No, I don't know. I'll have to find out. It's a good research project, though.
Okay, very nice.
It's a good documentary, like Roger and Me. Yeah.
In terms of the cast, I mean, what a cast. You've got John Goodman in there, you've got Bryan Cranston, Carl Chandler. I enjoyed him just with his unusual haircuts.
That's one of the virtues of being in the movie, is that I cast myself in the movie and the studio said, okay, just, you know, you can kind of cast the actors that you want, you know, and so I went ahead and found the best actors for the movie, and as you point out, Alan and John and Bryan and all these guys were great, and even down to the smaller roles where you had people who just want to show up and do something in the movie and be kind of, you know, like Kyle, who knew who Hamilton Jordan was, gained 10 pounds to play the part, was willing to put on that horrible haircut, you know, just for like a day or two of work. It was really, really fun. And everyone, we did not have more women show up to visit the set at any time more than when Kyle Chandler's days were to work were. So I figured out who the sexiest man on set was.
Exactly. In fact, I just, I think we're giving a bit of an ego boost here to my producer Dave, who I said reminds me a bit of Kyle Chandler. Is that
You do look a little bit like Kyle Chandler, actually.
Thank you very much. Thanks. I'll take that.
He's never seen Friday Night Lights. He doesn't know what's going on.
He's got darker hair than you, and it's, I don't want to say thicker, but...
Dave actually put on 10 pounds just for this interview.
Very good, very good.
We are XFM.
Are you an angry nerd? What are you angry about? Your chance to get it, or IT, off your chest. 83936 for your angry nerd rants this morning. The more specific, the better. For example, Matt, what are you so angry and nerdy about?
I've written the Dear John letter this morning.
Oh, here we go. Good, at last.
Dear John, dear Mr. John Kennedy of XFM fame, I admire your constant ability to have your finger on the pulse of new music in this country, constantly breaking the next Mercury Prize winner on your exposure show of an evening. But please do take the band's musical equipment out of the studio when the session is done. Today on my desk, I was greeted by an Ultra DI-20 mic splitter. there were also four bottles of half-drunk Heinekens. It's like coming into work the morning after a student house party. Really is.
Hey, people who work for newspapers and entertainment magazines, you appear to think that Twitter is only to be used for telling us you've seen upcoming episodes of television programmes that we haven't seen yet. Oh, I've just seen the new Homeland. It's a good one. Yeah, I imagine it is. It's Homeland. Oh, it's the best episode of Girls Tonight, the one where she goes to a shop. We don't know what you're talking about. It's not been on yet. But well done. You've watched a DVD that someone sent you slightly ahead of broadcast. Now stop showing off about this extraordinarily low-level achievement and let us enjoy the these things as a community for the few remaining shows it is possible to do that for without tainting it by shoving yourself in the foreground of our thoughts the whole time. Hashtag unfollow. Thank you.
Crikey.
Yeah. And yes, Catelyn and Boyd, I am talking about you. And to a lesser extent, Jane.
XFL.
How was your weekend? It was nice. But, slightly frustratingly, ladies and gentlemen, Dave and myself have both just swapped stories. both of which were terrific. We're so excited to share these stories with each other. And then realised that they were not appropriate for the radio. Neither one.
Such a shame.
Because in both there is a victim, isn't there? In yours there's a victim.
Yeah.
And in mine there is a victim.
Indeed.
Neither victim would want this talked about on the radio.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to delve deep into your weekend, Dave, and rescue this situation and give me something that is broadcast appropriate.
I have got plenty of radio-friendly stories, Danny. Do not worry.
Good.
I dressed up as a zombie on Saturday night.
Great.
I might get a picture up on the Facebook page, actually.
It was just only five days late, I suppose, for Halloween?
Just the 5 days late, yeah. Because being a sensible professional, I didn't want to go out midweek and celebrate Halloween.
What's wrong with you? Exactly.
We chose Saturday night.
You're saying that I am not a sensible professional?
Oh, yeah, you did, didn't you? I forgot about that.
I did do that.
Yeah, in that case, that is exactly what I'm saying, yes. Yeah, because you went out on Wednesday night.
I did. So you dressed up as a zombie?
Yeah, loads came around to ours and we all got dressed up as zombies and stuff, but then the morning after, the place looked like something terrible had gone down.
Out of a horror film?
Yeah.
Well, then it's fine, isn't it?
It was horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, there was blood sprayed everywhere because everyone was just obviously, after a few bad glasses of wine, the makeup putting on doesn't...
No, but you rent your place from a man called Mario.
Yeah,
what if Mario had turned up Sunday morning at your place just for a random inspection, let himself in?
Yeah, not allowed to do that, actually, as a landlord.
This is Mario we're talking about.
That's true,
he's very unpredictable.
He's a maverick.
So he could have just turned up and he'd be looking at, zombie ears just sort of littering the living room and perhaps a nose halfway up the stairwell, something like that. And he's thinking, well, it can't be Halloween. That was 5 days ago. There's no way. Knowing what I know about Dave, he's thinking he is not a responsible broadcast person. Yeah. No way you'd have done that. So what would you have done in that situation?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't rise until mid-afternoon anyway.
Well, zombies don't.
Well, that's true, yeah.
So you're kind of like a zombie vampire as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known how to explain it. But the weekend got worse.
What?
Because that was fun, actually. That was a great night on Saturday night. Then on the Sunday, I've left... My Wellington boots have been outside my back door for maybe 6 months now.
They would have filled up by now.
Well, no, because they're on the side, so it's fine.
Right.
But they've always...
We should put a map of your flat on the XFM website so that people can follow along as we're doing the stories.
Yeah, because we've had the gnome now, haven't we? Which is still asleep out the back door.
I see.
The Wellington boots, I looked on Sunday morning as I nipped outside, and next door's neighbour's cat has been to the toilet on them.
Oh, Dave.
So I don't know what to do with that now, really.
Burn them.
Yeah.
The boots, not the cats. Yeah. For God's sakes, don't start burning cats in your area. You've already got a terrible reputation as it is, dressing up as zombies 5 days after it is in any way appropriate. You're closer to November the 5th than you are to... Are you going to dress up as Guy Fawkes soon?
Might do, yeah, but probably about 2 weeks' time.
Okay, good to know.
We are
XFM.
The world's favourite Austrian, Felix Baumgartner.
So the decision has been made. Baumgartner will jump.
Something extraordinary happened in the skies today. A man soared almost to the edge of space and then jumped.
Felix Baumgartner has reached supersonic speed.
And Felix has landed safely back to Earth.
Oh, world record holder.
So he has the new record.
Felix Baumgartner's here, everybody!
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Sehr geehrter Herr Baumgartner, how are you?
Your German sounds pretty good.
It was not bad, was it? That meant highly respected Mr. Baumgartner. Hey. It's nice, it's a good way of welcoming you. Welcome. How are you coping with civilian life after doing what you did?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, I'm surrounded by a lot of people, no matter where you go. Yesterday I was in a restaurant, the people have been waiting outside for 2 hours, and... Also, when I leave the hotel, there's people everywhere. They have all the printouts from the Trump, so...
Really?
It's crazy at the moment.
It is. I mean, just to be clear, for anyone who happened to miss it, I can't imagine many people missed this. You jumped, essentially, 24 miles out of a balloon, the edge of space, down towards Earth. Now, why 24 miles? Why not 25?
Well, I think, actually, we know the balloon is the limit, you know, because to go up so high needs a bigger balloon, you know, and you're very limited because they don't have much bigger balloons.
Mm.
Plus, when you go so high, you don't want to reach a lot more than Mach 1, because then you run into a lot more problems that you might not be able to handle.
That's what I always think as well. I never want to go quicker than Mach 1. I don't know, it just messes your hair up, stuff like that. How, I mean, this is the most simplistic question, but I think in some ways it's the most fascinating. How does it feel?
The big problem is you do not feel when you travel at supersonic speed.
Mm.
Yeah, there's no reference points. You don't see things moving by. You don't feel it. You don't hear the sound.
So what is it? I mean, so it just feels like you're
you
just
know you're
static.
Fast. You know you're on the way, you know, but you don't feel the supersonic boom. It happens way behind you. So yeah. The first time when I finally realized that I flew a supersonic boom was when I landed. And I've been told by a lot of people that heard that supersonic boom on the ground.
They heard the boom.
Yes.
Do they call you the boom now? Boomgartner.
Boom, boom, Baumgartner.
That's what they should be saying. In fact, that's one of the questions that came in from confirmed listener Fran. What did the sonic boom sound like when you broke the sound barrier? But I guess you didn't hear it. You were moving too quickly.
Well, I didn't hear it, you know, but if you look up on the internet, on my Facebook site, you know, you can hear it. There's a video and you hear it. It's not super loud, but it's there. Two times. Boom, boom.
A double boom.
Double boom.
Double boom, Gartner. I mean, what, you know, Joe from Dartford says, when you were sitting on the edge of space, did you wish you had something just to throw off first, just to see how it would go?
No.
Nothing like
that. I want to throw off is myself.
Exactly. How long had you been kind of building up to this? I know you've broken records before as well. You did the highest parachute jump from a hotel in Kuala Lumpur, is that right?
Yeah, I started skydiving when I was 16 years old. And I was with the Austrian military as a professional skydiver. And then I was just traveling around the world doing suicides on base jumps from all over, you know, the highest buildings in the world, jumping into the deepest caves. I did also a base jump from the Jesus statue in Rio. And also crossed the English Channel from Dover to Calais with a carbon fiber wing strap to my back.
Really? Yes. Did you ever think about getting a proper job?
This is a proper job.
What does your family make of it?
You know, my mom is always worried.
Even yeah, she
trusts
would be, yeah.
Me completely.
My mom's worried if I get out in the shops.
This is what moms do all the time. It doesn't matter how old you are, they always worry about their son.
Yeah. So how do you break the news to say to your mom about these things?
Well, she was there. She was in Roswell as well, you know.
But when you had to tell her, this is the next thing I'm doing.
Well, she was afraid. I think in the beginning she couldn't really realize what it means to break in the speed of sound, but she figured out later.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this was essentially like one of the biggest event on the internet ever. I mean, lots of things get watched all around the world. Usain Bolt, that was a great moment. Everyone tuning in around the world. But this got 8.1 million
viewers at the same moment, yeah.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, we had a tremendous success, and I think what happened on that day, we were touching people's heart all over the place.
Mm. Well, that's nice. Do you think some people, there is the fundamental human desire to rubberneck as well. Do you think there were some people tuning in thinking this could go wrong?
Oh yeah, I mean, if you put something like breaking the speed of sound live on people's TV, you know, there's always a potential. But we've been working so hard for 5 years. We have been doing a big program with a lot of test jumps, a lot of chamber testing. So safety was always our main priority, and it paid off.
And you had to get up a lot, you know, like at 2 a.m. to go and do your medical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Consistently.
I'm not a morning person.
You're not? Really?
So thanks for putting me on your show.
Yeah, exactly. Joe from Dartford just wants to know, were there toilet facilities on the balloon?
No, what you wearing is a UCD. It's a urine collective device. It's condom.
A UCD?
A suit. Yeah, UCD.
So you had an internal urine collection device?
Urine collective device.
Why has no one talked about this before?
I don't know.
Are you wearing one now?
No, but I should.
Because I would wear one all the time if I had access to a UCD.
There's two possibilities. It's either you wear UCD or diapers. But I was going for UCD because heroes do not wear diapers.
Heroes do not wear nappies. No way. But I mean, why don't you wear one all the time? It saves so much time, Felix.
It's what it is. You know, sometimes I really wish I'm wearing UCD.
Really? Oh, I'm so pleased that we're the radio station that brought urine collective devices to the airwaves. Josh Mashstead wanted to know if you had a song stuck in your head during your descent. Was there a song that kind of summed up your adventure, would you say?
Well, my friend and I, we did a song just for this. It's coming out in the next 2 weeks. It's called No Limits.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no, I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah, look it up.
Seriously, you've written a song?
Yeah.
Wow, and you're going to release
it? My friend and I, he's a musician, he's a rap singer, and it's on iTunes. It's called No Limits, and his name is Jamal Malik.
Please say you're going to have a band called the Urine Collective.
We're working on this.
Okay. Staff at an airport in Gloucester have discovered a unique way of keeping birds off the runway. They just play Tina Turner songs, right? Now, during quiet times at the airport, they get in their van, and I can't stress enough, this is someone's job now. They get in a van with a loudspeaker mounted to the roof of it, and they drive around playing Tina Turner tracks to scare birds. Right. They used to use bird distress calls. Quite stressful for a bird. Oh, what's that? What's happening? Now, even worse, Tina Turner. That's someone's job in this day and age here on the $123 million worth of planet Earth that we currently enjoy. But the headline is terrible. The headline is essentially just Tina Turner songs used to scare birds. I put it to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we can do much better this morning. We can get this off to the tabloids. Yeah. You've got Tina Turner to work with. You've got airports. You've got the worlds of our avian cousins. So, for example, Dave, what would your headline be?
Simply the nest.
Oh,
straight in there.
That's great, yeah.
Doesn't make any sense,
no,
really.
No sense.
So, not so really. Much a headline, just...
A pun, isn't it?
A mildly clever play on words.
Mildly clever play on words. Yeah. Any others, or is that...
I've got more. Of course. What about Tina, turn around and get off our runway?
Okay, yeah. That must be it.
That's it.
Yeah. Steve, anything from you?
All I've got is... What have doves got to do with it?
That's good, yeah.
And then simply the breast.
Simply good. The, like, Robin Redbreast.
Yeah.
Good. All right, I had to clear that up just in case anyone just tuned in. All I've really got, I mean, I had runway dancer. Doesn't really work. Like, I'll be your runway dancer.
No.
It doesn't even rhyme with private, does it?
There's no idea.
All I've really got is, it's more of a comment. Tina Turner's a scary bird.
Huh? Yeah.
It kind of works, doesn't it? Yeah, but it does sound a little disparaging.
We are... The greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I'd be had a good day yesterday after the important broadcast. Yeah. Going about your business, doing your things. I had a nice day.
Did you?
Just went to the park.
Which park?
Well, a park in North London.
Nice.
With my infant son.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And he called me a silly old man.
Whoa. Your son did?
He called me a silly old man. A silly old man, Matt.
Where
he went,
you
silly
from?
Old man. Like that. It was,
Did he pick that up off your missus?
Well, she often calls me a silly old man. In fact, our wedding vows, do you take this silly old man? So that's what I did. Just went to the park, just wandered around, did a bit of work in the evening. Matt, I imagine your evening was much more high octane.
No, very low octane. Yeah. It consisted of just going out to buy some wine from the supermarket.
Well, that's, you know.
Which, you know.
We're just okay. Silly old men, aren't we?
Yeah, we are silly old men.
Silly
I saw
man.
A wine on sale that was this new wine. They made a big splash in the co-op about it. And it was 5.5% alcohol.
Oh, really?
And apparently that's because of our busy lifestyles.
Right.
We like a wine that's really weak.
Just a weak wine.
Right. I don't know what benefit that would have.
My friend was very excited going to an off-license not long ago because he saw a new range of wines that he was very excited about called XLR. Mm. He was like, sounds amazing. And I pointed out it was XLR.
XLR.
He was like, must be a man. Oh, XLR wine. Stuff like that. That's great. I popped into the company toilets just before and I saw Matt and it looked like he decided not to use the toilets, but instead the sink. It was a startling moment. That's a weird revelation.
Slander, Daniel.
I said looked like.
Yes.
I said it
well,
appeared.
I hadn't, obviously. Yeah. I hadn't. I was just doing my belt up.
He was just adjusting his belt by the sink.
Just tucking my t-shirt in and doing my belt up, yeah.
Put a less sympathetic pair of eyes. may have thought something else. You went to a gig last night.
No.
You didn't go then?
I was meant to be going to a gig, and I tried really hard trying to find a companion to go with for a good 12 hours.
Yeah.
No one wants to come to the gig
Why
with me.
Why would no one go to a gig with you?
I don't know, Danny.
You didn't want to go on your own?
I don't really want to kind of address the issues, I don't think, because if you delve too deep into these kind of things, it makes you start to wonder why,
why
did no one want
no one
come
go to this brilliant Maximo Park gig?
Maximo Park gig,
You didn't want to go on your own?
No. No, not again. I don't
silly
go to gigs
man.
On my own anymore.
Silly old man, aren't
silly
you?
Old man. Yeah, cinema on your own is one thing, but a gig on your own is a step too far.
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
After I saw Matt using the sink... And you were, you were just using the sink.
I wasn't using the sink.
No, well, you were using the sink. I'm not saying what you were using it for. I spilled a little bit of coffee on one of the carpet tiles.
What? You've just admitted it.
I know. I've admitted it kind of on air now.
Put it on tape.
Which means it's a £5 fine, isn't it, for me, as far as Global's concerned, but I'm not going to admit to it.
Well, I will dob you in.
Silly old man. You probably don't know what's going on in the world of showbiz. You're out of the loop, okay? You're in the I don't know biz, if anything. Let me flip that and reverse it as I put you in the no biz.
I'm going to show you my business. I do this every day, right? And I think people find it useful.
I hope so.
I hope so also.
Yeah.
It would mean a lot to me if they did. But then I got to thinking, what about the people within the world of showbiz, right? What if they're off somewhere? They're on their way, you know, to, I don't know, some kind of soiree. They start early these days, don't they, soirees?
They do, yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't it be nice for someone in showbiz to actually be armed and ready to go with all those water cooler moments so they can stride into whatever soiree it is they're going to and know they've got stuff to talk about. So with that in mind, let's cross live to a car somewhere in London. James Corden, are you there?
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm very well, James. How are you?
I'm all right.
I'm pleased. You know what? It is early, isn't it? And right now, would you say you're in the no-biz, James? Or would you say you're in the I don't know-biz?
I'm without question in the I don't know-biz.
Would you like
and
me?
I want to be in the showbiz.
Shall I show you my business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Show me your business.
I'm going to show you my business. And I'll just get your reactions to today's important stories. So first of all, James. Well, yeah. Phillip Schofield's in trouble for eating a guinea pig.
Megalos.
What?
Yeah, he wolfed it down in Peru, James. People got angry. Schofield, he wasn't bothered, wasn't fussed at all. He tweeted back, he called them food Nazis. And then he went off, James, made it even worse. He went off and genuinely, he ate an alpaca.
I don't know where I stand on this.
This is all true. He's on holiday right now in Peru with his wife. He tweeted a picture of a guinea pig that he'd eaten.
No.
People went crazy, James. It sounds like I'm making this up. I'm not. This is all facts.
Well, I don't want to be a food Nazi, but and I want more than anything, I want Philip Schofield to eat whatever he wants to eat.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all care deeply about his diet.
But I don't need pics tweeted.
No pics. Just let what you're saying, okay. I think, and it's a wonderful line to stride, I think, is let Schofield eat guinea pigs in his own time. We don't need to know about it.
Yeah, completely.
Great. Big tick for that one.
When it comes to eating guinea pigs, I want to be in the I don't know biz.
Good. I'm pleased. You're very on message. Hey, Kim Kardashian, James, wants to be a bottom ambassador to Britain. She wants she wants to bring her bottom over, show it to people, say, this is my bottom. And that's as far as the story really gets. So I can't really see the point of it, James, but do we need a bottom ambassador?
In some respects, yes.
Yeah.
But what I find odd is that Kim Kardashian would be so specific about an island so small on a global scale that she would pick... That she would pick us and say, these guys need to know about bottoms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Would you widen it, make it more Europe-wide?
Well, I would if I was Kardashian. If I'm going to make the trip over, to Eurostar, to Paris, it's like, what, 3.5 hours?
3.5 hours at that.
Then you're into a whole other bottom-type world.
Well, exactly. You've got French bottoms, Belgian bottoms, if you go a little bit further as well. You can also go to Frankfurt, of course. You've got the German bottoms.
I just bought myself a pair of Belgian bottoms.
Good,
They're coming back in.
Hey, Misha B was on a scooter inside an arena and she crashed into a rail full of clothes, kept going, and then bashed into Nicki Minaj's stylist. Now, James, Nicki is furious and now Misha is not allowed to play on her scooter anymore.
WTF.
I know.
WTF.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the images there, isn't it? What was she doing on the scooter? Why has she got a scooter with her? She is supporting Nicki Minaj at the moment, but Nicki's furious. The scooter, almost like a headmaster, has gone to the office, James. Appropriate?
Right.
Appropriate or not? Overreaction?
Well, I think we've all seen that Minaj... It takes a lot for Minaj to lose her temper.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's not the type of one to just willy-nilly start losing herself.
No way.
And maybe she should be called Misha Behave.
Oh, very nice. What? That's going straight to the tabloids, James. What? I'm sending that off. And finally, spotted. Lisa Riley walking past Shepherd's Bush Green holding a Twix. Your reaction.
I don't know why it's funny.
Well, James, now, my friend, you're in the no-biz.
I'm in the no-biz!
We are... X.
XFM.
We've just been discussing the MC Hammer song Pray, which Dave refused to believe exists.
No, not from the rendition you've just presented to me. That can't be a song.
You imagine that we just improvised a song with exactly the same lyrics together at exactly the same time. You've got to pray, 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 pray. We got to pray together.
To stay together.
Something like that, anyway. It does exist. It does exist.
It does not exist. You've just made that up.
Look it up. It's a fantastic piece of music.
Angry Nerds is what we're doing right now, everybody. And my goodness me, are you angry and nerdy, huh? It's a rhetorical question. The answer's yes. For example, Matt, what are they so angry and nerdy about?
I don't want to hype this up too much, but this is possibly one of my favouritest ever.
My favouritest ever.
Wow. The best ever angry
Happy
nerds.
Ninth birthday.
Best ever angry nerds rant I've ever seen.
Yeah. Best
From
ever you've ever seen.
Called Lee Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Lee Hutchinson in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Who says, I am sick and tired of people calling the forthcoming Star Trek 12 Star Trek 2. Oh. The previous movie timeline still exists,
yes.
As is proven by Spock from the original series appearing in Star Trek 11. So it's a continuation and not a reboot, and therefore not Star Trek 2, but 12. I even pulled up a cast member, Noel Clark, on this on Twitter, and he apologised to me.
Well done, well done, well done.
Appreciated that.
At last, it's been said.
Yeah.
Dave Dunn says, oh, okay, ICMYK608A4A3 colour printer. Why do you persist in printing on the lowest spec of the CMYK possible? I've set up all of the appropriate crop, bleed, registration and bleed marks. I've even put the colour tab palette on using Adobe InDesign CS6. It's all good my end, so why don't you just do your bloody job and print it as it is on screen, sir. Wow. Well done, Dave Dunn.
Ooh.
That's a new catchphrase.
Yeah.
What else, Matt?
Mick and Eaton. iPhone, when using your map app for directions, please give me the exact directions and location that I wanted. If I wanted a guest location, I'd stick a pin in the map. And if I wanted vague directions to the wrong place, I'd ask the wife.
I'd ask the missus and nurse.
Sort it out.
Lee in Leicester says, oh, people that group us letting agents under the umbrella of estate agents. Oh, we are letting agents. We are decent folk and avoid their CD, no sale, no fee underworld. We are our own profession, you tow rags, says Lee, who then follows up with PS. Danny was a high profile culprit of this heinous crime just yesterday. Oh. Do apologise, Lee and Leicester. What else?
Anna in Surrey Keys.
She won.
Hey, fellow users of the liquid chromatography mass spectrometer.
Yes.
Stop complaining about your spectra looking contemporary.
Yeah,
if your samples were of adequate concentration, you wouldn't have this problem. Don't blame the user before you. You only have yourselves to blame.
Oh, absolutely. And just finally, from university student Jack, who's on the M25. Dear Akai EIE Pro Audio Interface, yes, you're a new product of mine and should have had to install 3 CDs just to have to tell you to go me to go online and download you all again. It's not appropriate in this day and age, but... Oh, I do love you. Wow. Nerdy, sort of nerdy erotica there at the end. Excellent work.
XFM.
Before the police turn up and move him on, we better do this.
Work experience Steve's Road to Winter Wonderland. With Rocksmith, now anyone can play guitar or bass.
So Rocksmith's out now on Xbox, PS3 and PC. It teaches you how to play the guitar or bass guitar, and we've been doing so with work experience Steve. He's going to be playing in XFM's Winter Wonderland at Brixton Academy. Someone just texted in saying, Danny, why when announcing the Winter Wonderland lineup does the voiceover woman not include work experience Steve? He's now performing artist. I agree, I find it massively offensive. I'm going to have that dealt with in scene two. What do you think about that, Steve?
I think it's unacceptable.
Yeah, good for you. You are off company property, so you can say stuff like that, but don't you dare bring that attitude back with you. Steve, you're down in Charing Cross Road, you've got your guitar with you, you're going to do some busking for us. This is your first live performance, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm quite nervous about it.
Absolutely. Well, right now, how many people would you say are around you?
There's probably, like, people walking past, there's probably about 30.
Okay, so it's kind of liquid foot traffic is how I describe that.
There's a steady flow of people.
Well, you're going to have 5,000 in front of you come December 17th. This should be a walk in the park. What have you done? You've written like a little breakfast show ditty.
Yeah, I want to help promote the show, so I've written a song about the people on the show and the show.
Well, that's nice. That's music to my ears. Why don't we do that now then, Steve? Introduce it and crack on, but address the crowd around you.
Okay, everyone. This is the XFM Breakfast Anthem.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay, here we go. When it's early and you're feeling surly, there's a bespectacled bloke who's a bit feminine and he's not burly. Yeah, he's got straight hair, it's gelled, it's not curly. Yeah, he's Danny, don't you know? He's the presenter of the XFM Breakfast Show. Yeah! Matt Dyson, he's strong as a bison.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he probably needs a bit of antiperspirant and he should definitely buy some. But apart from that, yeah, he's our news-reading son.
No.
And producer Dave, he creates this radio maze. All our lovely guests, yeah, he's the guy that books them. Oops, sorry. He gives Danny some notes because Danny's never even heard of them. What the hell is a dynamo, Dave? Yeah, we're XFM. We pull the punches but leave no bruise. Yeah, and that is good news.
Oh, it all links. It all links. Wonderful, masterful, well done. Just to sum up, if you missed that song, I am feminine with apparently gelled hair, and Matt is sweaty.
We are XFM.
You might as well be called Honest Dave this morning.
Yeah.
Because you did a good thing. You admitted to spilling a small amount of coffee here at Global Radio. And as we know, they instigated a £5 flat fee fine system.
They did.
Genuinely taking our feature and applying it group-wide. So if anyone spilled any coffee whatsoever, they would have to pay £5. And if they didn't admit to it, there was an email around saying that we had to dob them in, you know, the sort of like in the Eastern Bloc states or something.
I wasn't aware that the system had been rolled out yet across the company.
I think it's only you that's ever admitted
well,
to
it. Well, that's it. I think that's why no one realised it had been rolled out, because no one has held their hands up and ever admitted to spilling coffee.
No, I mean, we've been dobbing people in left, right and centre.
Yeah.
To use a phrase from Neighbours. But you admitted to it, didn't you?
I did. I thought I'd be the bigger man. I thought I'd admit to the coffee spillage, and I must admit, deep down, I thought that would be it.
Yeah.
I thought the honesty would get me out of this.
Let you off this crazy, ridiculous fine.
Yeah.
And what have they done?
No. They still came straight up to me and said, we will be expecting that £5.
You are genuinely going to have to pay £5.
Just write out a check.
Yeah, yeah. As I said earlier, Global Radio is the only company in the world that appears to have no contents insurance or cleaners. But Matt, what about you? Have you ever been honest and it's gone wrong?
I think I'm the exact opposite of Honest Dave, because I always just lie and get away with it.
Lying Matt. I mean,
obviously, I haven't spilt any coffee in this building on any floor tiles.
That's a massive
lie. I'd just
like
to point out. but if I were to, I probably would try and get away with it.
But have you ever just kind of been honest with someone and just sort of gone, look, you know, you've told them the truth maybe, or you've maybe admitted to something, or you've been the bigger man, you've been a grown-up like Honest Dave here, and it's gone wrong. You're saying you've never told the truth.
No, I always get away with it.
You're Sergeant Bilko, that's what you've always been.
We are
XFM.
We're going to speak to one of our favourite rock stars. It is Kelly from Stereophonics. Are you there?
I'm very well. How are you, mate?
I'm all right. It's nice to speak to you again.
Yes, well, we're on the phone more than most, aren't we?
Yes, yes, we are. Every morning you ring me just to see how I am. Ordinarily,
how's
we don't...
How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. And how's it going with you? So busy at the moment.
Yeah, it's good. We're just getting ready to kind of go back out on the road. All the records done. So, yeah, it's been a good year. The band's in a good place, so... Looking forward to getting back out there now.
Absolutely. And on that note, in fact, you've announced, a few smaller sort of gigs as a kind of Christmas treat for your fans, including the Troxy in London on 20th of December.
That's right, yeah. We're going to do a handful of shows. I think Scotland, Birmingham, Manchester, one in Wales. I was just trying to find, you know, new venues the band haven't done before. And I think a few of the boys from BDI played the Troxy like a year ago, so we heard about it through a few of the mates who did that. So yeah, I mean, it's always good trying to find new places to play, and East London obviously is the new hub of hip, isn't it? So
yeah, it's the hip hub.
These new places to go, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to change your look though for East London, Kelly. You know what I mean? Yeah, you need like a little pair of like fawn cut-off jeans.
I know. I have to get a little bag strapped across my chest.
Yeah. A pair of oversized sunglasses with no glass. And a little Robin Hood hat.
Plain, man. That's all I'm looking forward to, the curry after.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the new record, which is out in the spring, isn't it? Have you got a title for that yet?
We've got a title, but I can't tell anybody the title, apparently. I don't really know why, but all these new rules and regs about pre-orders, I assume. But,
you can't even tell your friends at XFM.
I know, I'll tell you, but I can't. What can I say?
What does it rhyme with?
What does it rhyme with?
Yeah.
I don't know, mate. I can't do it. I've got people looking at me now with daggers in their eyes. I can see them. They're going to kill me.
Does it have more consonants than vowels?
I don't know. I'll have to get Carol Vorder on the phone to ask.
You're being tricksy. Your brand new single is out today, in a moment. It's our record of the week. And yeah, also with the album, you've been working on a film called Violins and Tambourines. And am I right in thinking that the album is kind of inspired by that? It's a kind of a darker look than we're used to for Stereophonics.
Yeah, well, Violins and Tambourines is a track off the record. And that was like a little film we made for it, because it was one of those pieces of music that kind of, you know, it lends itself to be quite a filmic kind of vibe, and it was good to put it out there with visuals at the same time. And we just finished the one, I'm just editing the one for In a Moment now, which comes out next week. But yeah, we just wanted to start off the whole thing with a new approach, really. We've all been into film and music for so long, we're just trying to combine the both together. And In a Moment is just a free kind of giveaway track, which we give to the fans, just because we haven't been on tour for like a year or so. So it's just kind of giving these little teasers before the record comes out the first part of next year, really.
So, you're giving away this track today. You've got this handful of smaller gigs that you're doing for the fans. Are you setting yourself up as a kind of the new Jesus?
The new Jesus, no. but, you know, we've never given anything away before.
Is that right? Never?
No, never. And I do want to add that this is the only time we will be giving anything away. Next year, you have to get your hand in your pocket. So,
absolutely.
We are feeling generous. You know, there's Halloween decorations up in Tesco's next to the Christmas decorations. I think it's a bit confusing, but, you know, we're giving it away.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a man is attempting to sell Planet Earth on an auction site. So, you know, he's gone to this site. He's gone, what have I got? What can I sell? And he says, well, I suppose in some ways, Planet Earth belongs to me. Yeah, but it belongs to all of us, isn't it? But this guy's taking the initiative, and I applaud that.
Right, okay.
He's going, it's as much mine to sell as it is anybody else's.
I doubt he's got any paperwork, though, or any contracts that have been signed or drawn up that confirm.
Yeah, when you pop out of the womb, the doctor hands you your birth certificate.
Yeah.
And £5.
Really?
Does not happen to you?
No.
Yeah, the doctor, when you pop out of the womb, he gives you a birth certificate, £5.
A fiver, no way.
And a little bag of sandwiches, and then sends you on your way, like Paddington or something. That's what happened to me. I don't know what happened to you. Anyway, the starting price was a measly 69 yen. I assume he's in Japan. Yeah. But since the auction went a bit viral, it's surged, Dave. Guess how much Earth will set you back now? If you got it in the early days, you would be laughing. Nowadays, it's very expensive.
Yeah, it's the inflation, isn't it? I would, 250,000 pounds.
No, gosh, you're living their dream world.
Oh, really?
Earth currently will cost you $123 million.
No way.
Oh, that's a lot of money, isn't
it? So someone's put that bid
in. For a planet? No, thank you. Now, in the product description, it's mentioned that the Earth was bestowed upon the seller by God, who appeared to him in a dream. And he says these are tough times, you know, so he's decided to sell it to the highest bidder. I don't know where he's going to live. I mean, yeah, he'll have a bit more money, but he'll still have to live on Earth. It'll still be going, you know, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's thought it through.
Yeah, then he'll be like, I had all this once.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's gone.
I think if you've sold it, you should be asked to move. Because you can't sell a house and still live there.
That's true,
Do you know what I mean? It's not like I would, if I sold my house to someone and went, got all the money and then just went, well, I'm just going to be upstairs. You're going, no, you've got to leave.
So is he technically a squatter now?
Would be a squatter. Well, he's not sold it yet. Right. And he does say that this is an authentic thing. And he says, please don't post a prank bid on this. No time wasters is essentially what he's saying.
Yeah.
So he'll only accept genuine offers. And if he says there are too many prank bids, he threatens to close the auction and just start again at 69 yen. 2 years ago, a Spanish lady claimed she owned the sun. She wanted to collect taxes on it. That's a smart idea. Mm. And I actually know a man called Dennis Hope who in the 1980s claimed the moon. He just claimed it. He went, "That's mine."
Oh yeah.
And he decided that was the way things were going to be from now on. No one's really recognised that as his, but it's a smart thing to do, I think. So I mean, that's interesting. What would you claim if you could? What would you claim?
Well, all the good stuff's taken, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Earth's gone.
Yeah, Mars is quite cool, isn't it?
Mars isn't bad.
I'm going to take Mars.
You can have Mars, and I'll take Venus, as the old phrase goes. We are welcoming lots of new listeners this morning. I've noticed Ben, Tom, Louise, all of them joining the show for the first time. And obviously, you may not know, I guess, the rules of Quizface right now, but you can apply for a listener pack through our website, and then you'll be up to speed. Because we're about to play Quizface with Aisha. Are you there, Aisha?
Hi, yeah.
How are you this morning?
I'm really good, thank you. Very excited.
Well, you should be. And where are you?
I'm in the Midlands, near Stourbridge.
Okay, I thought you were being remarkably non-specific there. Perhaps you're on the run, something like that. Well, you should know the rules by now, Aisha. Let's get quizzical.
Quotial quack-quirking.
So, Aisha, we asked you off-air to have your phone at the ready, didn't we? Because you will shortly be, I guess, receiving a text. A text with the secret code word attached, won't you? That should be arriving in the next 10 seconds or so, Aisha. So just relax, and whatever the text says, you read that out. Am I clear? When the text arrives, you read that out. Have I been clear there, Aisha?
Okay.
Just relax, okay? It's just vital that you ignore that. That's an email or something. You shouldn't worry about that. Just relax. Just wait for the text. Okay, you seem to have replied to the email. I did say relax. Just remember, you're waiting for our text. Just try and focus on this. I think that was your work BlackBerry, Aisha. Just ignore your work BlackBerry for now. You don't need to respond to that. You should just be relaxing at this stage and just wait. You replied. Fine. Okay, just turn your work BlackBerry off for us, please, Aisha, because, okay, someone's BBMing you, probably just to say something like, you know, lols used on the radio, innit? Yeah, just pop the BlackBerry down, please, Aisha. You don't really need that. Okay, that's not us. We didn't email you. Okay, so what you need to do is just... Okay, you've replied. Just pop that to one side, please, Aisha, and just... Right, okay. Okay, that's not us. I don't know who that is. Just hang up, please, Aisha. You should be relaxing right now. Don't get involved in any of that right now. Just wait for our texts. And, okay, don't send texts or receive. Please just stop doing whatever it is you're doing, Aisha. Will you just do that for me, please? Okay. You're not taking this very seriously, Aisha.
Sorry about that.
Okay, just focus, remember. Focus on what we're doing here. We're playing Quizface. Right, it's another... What are you printing? Stop printing, Aisha. Just focus. Just look at the one text thing that's going to be coming through at any point now. Okay, there's someone... Okay, ignore that, please, Aisha. Just wait for our text, if you wouldn't mind. Just waiting for the text now. Read whatever it is that we send you when you do that, okay? Shut that down, please, Aisha. I don't know why you've started up your MacBook. It seems very inappropriate at this stage. Just turn everything off, please. Are you on a Mega Drive, Aisha? What the hell are you doing, Aisha? This is for Black Keys tickets and things like that. Okay, and Dave, just drop all the effects, please. Now, Aisha, what you just witnessed was not, in fact, Quizface. It was a new play I've been working on. It's a satirical piece intended to puncture the pomposity of our have-it-all society as we rush from meeting to meeting with our Loganberries, you know, sending pictures of our bottoms to date-me websites while sipping lattes and playing Scrabble against online predators. Now, I'm sorry I put you at the heart of it, Aisha. A psychologist is standing by to give you all the help you need. And the rest of you? Did you recognise yourself in that, huh? Did you see yourself in that? Yeah, I bet you did. Just grow up, okay? Oh, Aisha, there's the text. It should have the code word on it. Complete the sentence, please, Aisha. We are...
XFM.
She's there! Oh! Well done, Aisha. And what was so wonderful about watching you do that was not only have you won the tickets to see Black Keys and Maccabees, but you really made us all think there, didn't you? That's an unusual laugh.
I'm glad. I'm glad that I've helped you today.
Yeah, good. Just talk us through your opinions on this bloody have-it-all society. Why do we think we can have it all, Aisha? Why do we walk around with our Loganberries, yeah, and taking pictures of each other's bottoms? Why do we do it?
Because that's just the way it is.
Wise words, I should. We are this morning, and it happens weirdly the last time we had Killers tickets to give away. I leant over. We were just listening back to one of the clips from this morning, as we always do. We listen immediately back to what we've just done. have an open discussion. A team of people come in. There's maybe 30, 40 people here. We listen back to the link. We criticise it. We take it apart. And they leave immediately and we crack on. We do that every single link. But what happened was last time, I leant over, didn't I? And I accidentally brought up the wrong fader. Yeah. And I faded up Matt's internal monologue. And so I thought, while we listen to that clip again today, I would fade up Dave's internal monologue.
Oh,
see what you were thinking while I was making one of my important pronouncements this morning.
I think, really, do you want to use me? I mean...
Yeah, well, I listened very briefly. And, I think it raises more questions than it answers, really.
Oh.
So let's play... It was the first link from this morning. The first substantial one, about 6:05, if you could bring that up. And please, Dave, can you fade up your internal monologue fader, please? Here we go.
Yeah, okay.
And you've chosen wisely. You've chosen the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Welcome along. Welcome.
Look at him go. Another magnificent piece of broadcasting by Danny. The delivery, the timing, the turn of phrase. This is Breakfast Radio at its best. God, look at Matt. Fake laughing his way through another one of Mr. Wallace's incredible pronouncements. It makes me sick. Sometimes I just think he gets in the way. I wonder if today's the right moment to tell Danny I've booked us tickets to Thailand for the Christmas and New Year period. He's going to be stoked. I don't think I've ever said stoked before. Stoked.
Startling moment.
Stoked. Stoked. Oh, careful, Dave, you're staring again. That's better. Yeah, play it cool. Play it cool.
Slander, don't you?
I said looks like.
Yes.
I said
well,
it appears.
I haven't.
Oh, look at that. He knows his legals. That wasn't slander. He made Matt look like a right chump. Oh, that's slander. Fly, Danny. Fly.
You went to a gig last night.
So that's lovely to hear. Just what goes on in that little head of yours.
Yeah,
I always thought it was elevator music.
No, it's not usually quite like that. I think that was a rare occasion of appreciation for you, Danny.
Yeah, get your hand off my leg.
XFM
Quiz Face.
I'm confirmed listener Aisha, and I just won Quiz Face. I never realised that in this day and age, I could realise just how reliant... Hang on, I'll call you back. I've just got a picture of Danny's bottom. Aw.
We are...
Hey, right now, you're in the I Don't Know biz. Let's flip that, let's reverse it, and let's put you in the know biz. I've been through the papers. I've found all the stories. Got just the important bits. Now, if you've got a water cooler at work, well, just prepare yourself. Caroline Flack has lost her phone.
You are kidding me.
I'm not, it's true. It's a BlackBerry.
Oh, no.
There are 300 words devoted to that story in the newspaper today, so do look out for Caroline Flack's phone.
I'm sure she's got insurance on it. She'll probably get it back in like a week.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say in any of the many words.
Mm.
The new Children in Need single... is being recorded by Phaser, Stushy,
yes.
And Angel.
Now, I'm in the no biz.
Suddenly, all the Children in Need are like, do you know what? We're all right, actually. Things have been looking up lately. Don't worry about the song this year. Be all right.
Let's just not bother.
Aston from JLS is going to start his own tattoo parlour. And apparently, to help him, he's been researching it quite a lot. He's been recording Miami Ink on his Skybox.
Nice.
That's what I do
as
well.
That's all you need to do, yeah.
Yeah.
I record Waking the Dead. Now I'm thinking of starting a pathology shop. It's me.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman's annoyed this morning because people think he's nice. He pretty much just plays nice characters. That's the problem, he says. Tim from The Office, Bilbo Baggins, Dr. Watson. Yeah. All nice characters. What should he do? How could he flip that?
Panto.
No. Panto.
Get him on. That's the baddie. If this is what you want, you'll get booed every night. Yeah,
every night, Martin, you could be booed on stage live in Plymouth. Page 33 of the Mirror, the Your Health section. The headline is Sarah Kaywood's Fear of Throwing Up. So you can read all about that today. Do you want to read all about Sarah Kaywood's fear of throwing up?
Wow.
Page 33 of The Mirror. They really know how to sell things, don't they?
Yeah.
James Blunt might star in a sitcom written by Hugo from Made in Chelsea that they also want Jack Whitehall for. This will be the poshest sitcom ever not made. They're describing it as Madcap.
Oh, no.
That's what we need, isn't it? Another Madcap sitcom.
Yeah. Gazooks.
Hot on the heels of Talisa's novel, you know, she announced that she's writing a novel. Britney's going to write one.
Oh.
I suspect it'll be the first audiobook that will ever be auto-tuned. Charlie Sheen's endorsed Mitt Romney, but Mitt Romney's weirdly being very quiet about it. Meatloaf endorsed him as well the other day and then just screamed a song at him completely out of tune.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was awful.
It was America the Beautiful, so it seemed to start.
Unbelievable.
You just saw Mitt Romney backing nervously away.
If that doesn't lose in the election, nothing will.
Well, Lindsay Lohan's also pro-Romney. That could help. So the US will be in safe hands.
Yeah.
If all goes wrong.
What a bunch. What celebrity endorsements.
It's like a really poor year of... I'm assuming to get me out of here.
Yeah,
Heston Blumenthal has proved once and for all that biscuits taste better dunked in tea.
Oh, at last.
Are we running out of things for these chefs to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we've run out of ideas. Isn't his new show, doesn't it start? Isn't it just like big food? He just makes a big crisp.
Really?
Like that.
Yeah,
I think that's the new food.
Because we could do that. I mean, I could do that.
Anyone could do that.
Yeah.
We'd have to pitch it right. He must have pitched it well.
Yeah.
And the little commissioner's just going, well, I suppose we haven't had anything about just big food. I think there's probably all these chefs just running around various TV centres, just nervously bumping into each other, going, what else can we do?
They'll do anything. Cookery is so hot these days.
Cookery is so hot.
So did he dunk
a massive... Cooking with gas.
Yeah, it is. Did he dunk a massive biscuit into a huge vat of tea?
I believe that's the... Yeah, I believe that. That somehow proved it.
Can't wait to watch it.
I think the next one should be seafood where Heston just makes a hat out of salmon. And just a couple of crab gloves.
My opinion.
Yes.
Now you are in the no-biz.
XFM.
We are XFM.
Let's play Celebrity or Civilian.
Celebrity or Civilian.
So, I'm going to read a bunch of tweets. Some will be from a celebrity, some will be from a civilian who shares that celebrity's name. This is all for tickets to see The View playing Cameron's Electric Ballroom November 29th. And on the line, we should have confirmedness. Now, Jimmy.
Hello.
Hi, Jimmy. Jimmy.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Jimmy, of course, short for Jimothy.
Of course.
Yes. And you're from Finsbury Park, Jimmy, is that right?
Yes, I am, yes.
That's where Dave lives. Would you like to have a drink with Dave?
Well, yeah, actually, he's mentioned the same local.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're going to...
Big fullback, yeah.
Excellent work.
Yeah.
You'll both be down there. That's good. Maybe you could take some extra audio down for Jimmy, so Jimmy gets like an extra bit of the show.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Like an XFM Extras.
Yeah, little links that we've done for podcasts, things like that, and then Jimmy could sit there in silence listening to them.
Great, I'll be there from 7 tonight, Jimmy.
7 p.m, Jimmy, that's what's happening. I'm going to read you some tweets, okay? Some are going to be from the comedian Alan Carr, and some are going to be from Alan Carr, who is a children's orthodontic specialist. Your job is to tell me which is the celebrity and which is the civilian tweet. Here's the first one. Is this celebrity or civilian? I used to drink Chateau Belknor from Food Giant in Cricklewood. It cost 89p and it was lush. Now, does that sound like the advice a child would get from a dentist? Or does that sound like the proud boast of comedian Alan Carr? Celebrity or civilian?
Civilian.
You're saying that a children's dentist has tweeted that he used to drink Chateau Belknor from Food Giant in Cricklewood for 89 pence and it was lush?
Yeah.
It's incorrect.
Oh.
Imagine that. You need to get 3 out of 5. What about this one?
Right.
My Billy Bob teeth arrived for my Halloween costume and depressingly, these Billy Bob teeth look better than my own teeth. The words of Alan Carr or the words of a tooth expert, celebrity or civilian?
That's Jimmy Carr.
You're saying that's Jimmy Carr? Is that what you're saying? because I will remind
you. I'll say celebrity.
You're saying celebrity. Thank God.
Yes.
Come you on. Thought you'd introduced a third tier to this game.
Yeah.
Introducing guest tweets from people who share the same surname. It's difficult.
Joker.
He played the Joker. So that's one correct and one incorrect. Here's the next one. I'm sorry. Next time, place your chin down towards your chest and breathe. Now, is that the comedian Alan Carr, or is that the children's orthodontic specialist Alan Carr, celebrity or civilian?
Celebrity.
You're saying celebrity? Incorrect.
Oh,
so, Jimmy, you need to get the next ones correct, okay? You need to get the next ones correct.
Come on, Jimothy.
Come on, Jimothy. Windy or what? I've just been happy slapped by a conifer. The words of the comedian Alan Carr or the American orthodontic specialist Dr. Alan Carr serving Bellevue, Washington, offering Damon systems and braces for children, teens and adults. Celebrity or civilian, who's just been happy slapped by a conifer?
Celebrity.
Saying celebrity. Yes! Oh, Jimothy! Jimothy! The last one, and you need to get this right. Would you like to learn more about what to expect during orthodontic treatment? Is that celebrity or is that civilian? I'm doing whatever I can to help you out here. I've got a huge list.
Civilian.
You're saying civilian?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my friend, thank God. Jimothy, you had us worried there.
I did my best to lose that.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Babies can now polish floors as they crawl, Matt. That's good.
Oh, that is good. No, I thought of a similar thing yesterday. You know, yeah. Those wheel things that you get dust off clothes with? You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I do. What are they called again?
I can't remember.
D-linter.
D-linter, yeah. My baby was playing with one on the carpet and it was like...
Why don't you buy your child
dust?
Toys?
And I was thinking, that's good.
You don't...
You should do that more often.
So your baby was D-linting the carpet?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Why don't you allow your child toys? Why are you so set on robbing your child of a spellbinding childhood?
They've got to have a purpose.
You're like Fagin. Fagin or something. You told us when we were playing Oasis there that you went to a restaurant yesterday and took Baby Bess and she charmed the chefs.
Yeah, yeah.
You are genuinely like Fagin. You've got a one baby gang and you go out there robbing people using goodwill. And now you make her de-lint your carpets.
Yeah.
And now you want her to polish the floor.
She always charms chefs and they bring out extra food for her. It's great.
For her, yeah. Meaning for you. Yeah. Well, this US company is combining baby grows with mops. So they wear a baby grow that's got a mop underneath it and then just crawl about. And it says it promises to teach your baby a strong work ethic early on in their life. They also get a nice workout, and it helps with muscle tone.
It's win-win. I'm Pinteresting that later on.
Matt, it helps with muscle toning.
Yeah.
Why is it important that babies are muscular?
I don't know.
Who looks at a baby and goes, got to work on the abs? Remember Mario and Lisa from Big Brother?
Sadly, I think I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude,
he was the big Italian guy, wasn't he?
He looked a bit like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah,
he still does, in fact.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And his wife, Lisa, I think they're married. I believe they met, from memory, I believe they met in a car park after one of them, I can't remember which, I think it was Mario, was selling a crystal ball on eBay. And he met Lisa in a car park and sold her the crystal ball and they went for a drink.
Right.
Genuinely true.
Wow.
And I know that because I've met these guys three times. They never remember me. They never remember me. Do you know what that does to your ego? When Mario and Lisa from Big Brother meet you three times and never remember you. So maybe this is some kind of karma. So a con man duped Lisa and Mario into being followed by a camera crew for months for a show that did not exist.
Oh, no.
For months.
Oh, no.
For months. And, and there's a picture of them holding glasses of champagne, stood next to a helicopter, wearing sunglasses, clearly thinking, We've hit the big time.
Yeah.
Hit the big time. Can't wait for this show to come out. And there's the gentleman in the middle who turns out to have duped them, also holding champagne.
I don't understand what the con man's getting out of it.
Well, exactly, exactly. So this, it says, hapless Mario Marconi. Now, you don't want that as your tabloid tagline, do you? Hapless. Hapless Mario Marconi and partner Lisa Appleton thought they had a new shot at fame while being filmed, unpaid. There's your first clue. For Lisa and Mario, their journey. Scenes included Lisa undergoing surgery and the pair recording a charity record.
Oh, no.
But the show existed only in the mind of trickster Selva Carmichael, whose television production company World Screen Group was just a front to lure in Mario and Lisa and investors. So that's where he's, that's where he's doing it, to get funding for this... for this clearly brilliant show. Lisa, who starred with Mario on Big Brother 9 in 2008. As if anyone's going, what have we got from 2008? What about from that year? Let's bring them back. Filming was 18 hours a day for months.
He is hapless. Mario is hapless.
For months.
Oh,
18 for
hours
him.
A day. I know. They got no money.
But did they not say, did they not ask at any point? You know, what, have we got a broadcaster lined up for this? Yeah. We got any interest so far? Just keep filming. Tomorrow you're undergoing surgery for the show. So Mario added, how low can you go to get footage to convince people you have a television show? You can go lower than that, to be fair. But this guy, this trickster, also tried to pose as manager of X Factor star Chico. So he set the bar quite low for himself, didn't he? You know, when it came to that, you know, he should have just come clean, this guy, and said, look, there is no program, but can we be friends? And maybe we can do something together, and maybe the charity single could take off. Who knows?
I was just going to say, I wonder whether that's been recorded. I'd love to hear a snippet.
I would love to hear a snippet.
We'll look into that.
But I mean, come on. There's an element of ego there. I mean, there's a lot of ego there, just kind of going, yes, of course there's going to be a Mario and Lisa.
Yeah.
Of course there's going to
be. Who wouldn't want to make that?
Who wouldn't want to spend, you know, invest in months and months of filming? But I do feel sorry for them as well, because it is a nice picture. They've got the picture, at least, of them standing by a helicopter. They'll always have that.
XFM.
Imagine my delight this morning when Dave told me we were going to have a mystery guest, and all thanks to... Guest Who! So I'll have 60 seconds as normal. We both will, Matt, to guess who is on the end of the line. It's someone that Dave has cleverly lined up, and it's someone we've talked about in some way, or perhaps they're associated with something we've talked about in some way over the past week of important broadcasting. What have we talked about? We've talked about all sorts. Talked about Mario and Lisa from Big Brother. That would be interesting. One, we talked about the man who scammed them into thinking that they were filming 18 hours a day for that bit. That would be good.
Dr. Fox being the size of an infant.
Dr. Fox, toddler-sized Dr. Fox. It could be him. I doubt he would come on to the important broadcast for all sorts of reasons, if that was a thing. So we have 60 seconds. Is the caller lined up, Dave?
Yes.
Then begin the countdown. Okay, caller, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay, it's a lady caller. And is this to do with you directly?
No.
It's not to do with you directly?
Not directly, no.
Is it a survey about something?
No, it's not, no.
Nothing scientific?
No, not at all, no.
Not at all scientific? And you're not at the centre of it?
No, I'm not, no.
Is someone you know at the centre of it?
Yes.
Family?
No.
Colleague?
Colleague, yes.
Colleague?
Oh.
Is it... Oh, Matt, what...
it's definitely not in the...
So, is it at your workplace?
It is, yes.
Is it something to do with the furniture in your workplace?
No.
No, okay. Something to do with people doing something in your workplace?
Yes.
10 seconds.
Yes.
Is it... Oh, this is difficult. Something to do with people doing something in your workplace?
Time.
Oh, I've crashed out. Caller, would you mind telling me who you are and what these colleagues have been doing in your workplace?
Right. I'm Kim Davenport, and my workplace is Gloucestershire Airport, which that's probably led you now to my colleagues. out on the runway.
They drive around in a van, don't they, with a loudspeaker on top, playing Tina Turner songs to scare birds. that's what happens there.
They scare birds by the normal means of scaring birds, but when the distress call tape ended, blaring out on the radio was Tina Turner, so we're now known for bird scaring being done by Tina Turner.
By Tina Turner specifically. So it turned out, actually, the papers misrepresented this. It just happened to be Tina Turner. You didn't seek Tina Turner out.
Oh, it happened to be in the days of the cassette player, when they ended and the radio blares out, it was Tina Turner and the birds actually did move.
Well, hang on, how long has this been going on for? Because technology's moved on in cars. Do they still have a tape recorder in their car?
Exactly. We've got loud hailers now, we've got pistols and fireworks, and the men go around have sort of man presence by flapping arms. I'm not sure how that actually works. But
what? Hang on, you've rigged up A-Team style, some kind of anti-bird van with pistols, fireworks, a loud hailer with Tina Turner, and men flapping their wings?
Well, they've been known, I think one paper quoted them as doing a lunatic dance act.
Well, that's it. I mean, and these men get paid for this, Kim.
Oh, they do.
And this comes out of some kind of budget.
No, it's part of what we have to do. We're up and down the runway on a regular basis.
And you've always stuck with Tina Turner. You've never sort of spread your wings, so to speak.
It was Tina Turner, which then became our sort of logo for the airport. It's simply the best type thing.
Wow. Kim, thank you so much for joining us on the phone today.
You're very welcome.
And best of luck with your Simply the Best style, bird scaring antics.
Thank you very much.
And tell the guys to get a proper job.
I will too, thank you.
No, it's not. What an unusual moment. Well, listen, for Kim and all the guys at Gloucester Airport, let's do this here on XFM. Let's get a little bit of Tina Turner, Simply the Best.
Yes. I call you, I need you, my heart's on fire.
Actually, no, let's not. Let's get some White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. I was just seeing how long I could hold off before Dave exploded.
XFM.
4 hours of hugely important broadcasting, but what have we learned today? Let's do this.
Danny Analytics.
So Danny Analytics, Matt, analysing the last 4 hours. What have you learned?
Well, I can tell you there were two deliberate mistakes in the sport this morning. One regarding a previous Celtic result, which my memory let me down on.
Oh,
and well done to those eagle-eared listeners amongst you who spotted that the Gary Cahill audio earlier was actually Man United assistant manager Mike Feeman.
Yes.
Also, on a separate note, a little Coke can sent to us by a PR company earlier this morning that work experience Steve thought was an earring was actually a USB stick.
Yes. Yeah, with the new advertisement on it. They were very... So saying, do not put this online, as if that would be our first thought. We're going to put this advert online.
Get it out there.
Today, I made a few enemies in the world of journalism, calling out television reviewers and previewers for showing off because they sometimes see television shows 4 or 5 days before you do, and then sort of hunch by their TVs, waiting until just before their broadcast so they can tweet, oh, I've seen this, and make you feel bad because you're not special enough to have seen this week's grand designs slightly ahead of broadcast. So there you go, that was podcast number 68 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt, you must have enjoyed that, not just emotionally, but physically as well.
Yeah, physically. I mean, the hair...
I'm not
was...
talking about the podcast. I've been stroking Matt throughout.
Yeah, and the hair was standing up on the back of my neck.
It wasn't your hair I was stroking. It was your pelt.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.